Good morning to everyone. When you travel in the Jewish world, you sometimes see things that you usually don't see in your own shul. You don't see in your own habitat. And I actually was privy to something, this particular trip, that I wanted to share with you. It's amazing how sometimes shuls can bring out the worst in people and not necessarily the best in people. And I don't know why it is. It could be because people are sitting around and they feel that they're not energized. They're bored, for lack of a better term. And they want to, you know, show that they still have energy. That indeed that they're, what is it called when you have your heart pump and you run? Cardiovascular.
Cardiovascular.
What Bruce just said in proper English. And you want to show that it still works. So you start making problems and you scream and you yell about things that are, with due respect, not the most important in the world. So in any case, I wanted to dedicate this share to the memory of my father, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan, Hareini Katparat Mishkavo, and share with you an experience. This particular trip, I was very busy, but Shabbos I was off. So I spent it with family, and I was in a specific shul where I have to admit it's not a shul that I would call modern Orthodox, but more to what's colloquially known as the more right wing of the Orthodox world. Suffice it to say that it was very difficult to find a white kippah in the crowd. But a huge crowd Friday night, huge crowd, and very nice. And there was a gentleman there that actually was from Israel, not a member of the community. And as I was walking out, I wished him a good Shabbos, not because I knew him. And he said, "Bunch of Maratzim, these guys." I said, "Why? Could you believe that the Chazan did Kabbalah Shabbos from the Shtender in front of the shul and not from the Bima? Maratzim, they think they're more religious. They don't know what they're talking about." And he was upset. So this was interesting. I just nodded my head. I'm a guest. I don't think that you have to go ahead and knock the shul that you're in just because of these petty issues. But some people heard him. And they're very, very interested in halacha. And they said, "What do you mean? You're a maratzim. You don't got to daven Kabbalah Shabbos from the shtender. You have to daven it from the bima." And I don't understand how you people who say you can't change halacha, go ahead and change halacha. Now what was he based on? Let's look at the first source on the page. Anyone know the book, Ta'amei HaDinim U'Makor HaDinim? When I was bar mitzvah, so many years ago, when there's still dinosaurs walking around the streets and I had hair on top of my head, back in the Frida Dikadoiris, way back when, I got a book from my bar mitzvah called Ta'amei HaDinim U'Makorei HaDinim. Namely, these are the reasons for various things we do. Very, very interesting sefer. And in the sefer, in Ot Reish Samech Dalet, it says as follows: V'tam shebebeit haKnesset mekabel hashliach tzibur Shabbat min habima. The reason why this gentleman said that on Kabbalah Shabbos, not Ma'ariv, you do it from the bima in the middle of the shul, and not from the shtender in front of the shul. The fisher biyamim arishonim haya minhag sheyatzumi beit haKnesset lekabel Shabbat. Everybody knows that in pre-1K, in primary school, in kinder, or in creche, whatever you might call it based on the countries you come from, there was a story that we were told that Kabbalah Shabbos is not to stay in shul, have the chazan sing, and we may sing with him or fall asleep. But rather, where is Kabbalah Shabbos accepting Shabbos happening?
In the fields.
Based on a Gemara, it happens in the field. But today, we don't go out to the fields. So says this particular sefer, Al-Kain, to remember that we used to not be in shul, we used to be out in the fields. Holech hashatz al habima lekabel Shabbat shehu makom gavor ukrava el petach. He goes to the bima to sort of remind us we used to not be in shul. Namely, why? When do you have a chazan stand at the shtender in front of the shul? When he's a chazan in a shul for services we do in the shul, ma'ariv, shachris, mincha, ne'ila. However, for services that were usually done outside, he doesn't stand in front of the shul because he wasn't even in shul. So how do you remember you used to mekabel Shabbos outside? He does it from the bima. That's what this sefer says. That's what this gentleman said. And quite frankly, he was very livid with anger. And I have to admit that when you come to a shul, you have to remember two things. And that's my first koteret, my first title on the page. What does it say?
Don't dismiss customs easily.
When you see a minhag, gentlemen, I believe that first and foremost the assumption should be that it's correct, unless proven otherwise. I mean, if there's a minhag on Shabbos to blow out the Shabbos candles, then I think we can all agree, okay, that's a bad minhag. But if it's not clear, and namely it doesn't hurt anyone, like the chazan davening from the bima versus from the front of the shul, I would suggest a little humble, wait, check, and then, if needed, yell and scream. That's number one. And I believe that the assumption of this gentleman was wrong, because what he did was, he shot from the hip, probably because he missed his family, probably because of other reasons, and he shot from the hip. And many people do that in shuls, because as I say, shuls can bring out the worst in people. But I believe that he made a mistake on that. However, he did quote something that we all do, many of us do, and that is that the chazan davens from the middle of the shul, Kabbalah Shabbos, and goes to the front of the shul for Ma'ariv. Now, he was livid about something that I have to admit is something that is in the halachic literature. I'm not so sure we can call it halachic, but the Chasam Sofer did. Now everyone knows who the Chasam Sofer was. And everybody knows that he was a great Talmud Chacham. He functioned in the 19th century. He was born in Frankfurt. That's the way he always signed his letter, saying, I'm from Frankfurt. I'm one of the Jews from Frankfurt. You know, very proud of it. But he functioned where?
Hungary.
In Hungary. And we all know that part of his rabbinate was not just to be a Rosh Hashiva and a Talmud Chacham and a Posek, but part of his job description was to fight against
reform.
Yes.
Unless it was Milag, were they there also?
So, he has a question. This is in his responsum. This is not in his writings on the Parsha. This is not a drasha. This is a responsum. And he says, so we got the following question. We're building a new shul, and the way they're building shuls today in the 19th century is the bima is not in the middle, but rather way up front. Have you seen shuls like this?
Yes.
So you wanted to know if this is okay, the questioner. Asks, answers the Chasam Sofer. Nira li shenichbashua kehalot. You're absolutely wrong. Number one, he quotes what we're about to quote about a shul in Alexandria in
Egypt,
where the bima was in the middle to the extent that it was such a big shul that no one heard the chazan. They had to try to make their way for people to hear the chazan. So we see from here that ultimately the bima is in the middle. The kevan she'anachnu mechazkim abima sheba korin pashat hakorbanot kemo misbeach shebipneken mesavim abima bechag haSukkot. Why is the bima in the middle? Because just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the bima was in such a place that we can walk around it for Hoshanos. So too in our shuls, we walk around the bima, which is in the middle for our shanos. No one says, go to the front of the shul and walk around the bima. The bima's in the middle, and people walk around it. And since the shul is what we call a migdash me'at, it has to be built based on the base of migdash, approximately. No one's shechting korbanos in shul, but the bima is like the mizbeach of old. You have to put it in the middle. Number two, the ha'ita bepsikta. I found a medrash that says, "V'hakimotata mishpan kemishpato shehoreta bahar." You have to make the mishkan as it says lawfully in the Chumash. So asks the Chasam Sofer in cynicism, "V'chi yesh mishpat lakrashim?" Anyone want to translate? Yesh mishpat lakrashim.
There's a law for wood.
There's a law, not just wood. Beams.
Beams.
2x4s. There's a law of 2x4s. Hilchot 2x4s. Now, when you build a sukkah, you have to put up 2x4s in exactly the same place you did the year before. So he says, well, what kind of thing is this? So he says, Ela keresh zachal niyaten batzafon, lo yishan el yitol baderom. Actually, it is a halacha. If the 2x4 was in the north, you can't put it in the south of the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be always in the north. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, we don't change things, because just like in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan of old, it was here, so too in the Shula has to be there. And therefore, you can't change it. And number three, and this is of course Chasam Sofer pre-101, what does the Chasam Sofer say? V'haklala chadash, chadash asur, min ha-Torah b'chol makom. You don't change.
Brain and not brain.
Pardon?
Speaks about grain, not brain.
Correct. The Mishnah is talking about new grain that was planted after the second day of Pesach, but the Chasam Sofer took it as a slogan for his fight against those that were trying to change Judaism. And therefore he says, for these three reasons. One, it has to be patterned like the Beis HaMikdash. Two, even in the Beis HaMikdash, a 2x4 couldn't be changed to a different place, so too in a shul. And three, even if you tell me everything I just said is wrong,
You don't change.
We don't change things.
I have a question.
To make a long story short before your question, cloud number two. First, don't spit on customs. It might be correct. And two, don't change things in the shul easily. Because just like in the Beis HaMikdash and building it, you couldn't. So too, in a shul, which is a Mikdash Me'at. Yeah. So, based on these two things, let's see what we're going to do with our chazan. Can he daven from the middle? Does he have to daven from the front? Yeah.
When I was in Rome a number of years ago, I was surprised to find that shuls there had the bima at the very back of the shul rather than in the middle of the front. And I asked, did you notice that when you were in the middle? And I asked the question, you know, where did this minhag come from?
If you look at the Chasam Sofer, he seems to be talking about Besof Beit HaKnesset. I don't know if he meant at the end or at the front in his Hebrew, but it could be, like you said, in the back.
Yeah.
But not in the middle, that's for sure.
Right.
Okay.
So I don't know where that minhag came from.
Well, as you could see, it was
that I asked in Rome. So this is the way we've always done it.
All right.
This is our minhag.
You're right. In Italy, many shuls have the bima in the back, not in the front, not in the middle. Okay. So we're going to talk about the bima in the middle versus the bima in the front. But quite frankly, that's something that in our shuls are not so relevant because the bima is always in the middle. So let's talk about where's the chazan stand. So is there halachic sources for this, or is it just custom and I'm wasting everyone's time? Big deal, stand here, stand there, stand everywhere. You daven mincha in a shopping center. Is there a halacha where the chazan has to stand?
No.
Wherever he stands. Wherever the people come around him, the guy's, God forbid, sitting shiva. Is there a halacha? He has to stand here or not there? No. So maybe this whole shir is bupkis, with due respect, the guy got livid for no reason. Or is there halachic sources? So let's see. Is there halachic sources? Masechet Sukkah, we just alluded to this. Daf Nun Aleph Amud Bet. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, right side of the page. Mi shelo ra'a difilustin shel Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, lo ra'a bichvodan shel Yisrael. Whoever didn't see this big shul in Alexandria never saw a more gorgeous Jewish institution. Why? Ubimat shel Eitz be'emtzaita. They had a very big shul. And where was the bima? In the middle. Where did the chazan stand?
By it.
How do you know?
Chazana Knesset Amid Aleha.
Are you looking at the source sheet and answering my question?
Yes.
Did anyone think of doing that?
What a thought.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I already said for this year, everyone comes after a cup of coffee. Of course, that's what you do. What do you think? The Storch Baal Peh? It used to be Baal Peh. Now it's Bichtav. It's in front of you. The Chazan HaKnesset Omed Alea Vastu Darin Biyadol. No one can hear the Chazan, even though he was in the middle. But where did the Chazan stand from our perspective? In the middle. And when the people had to answer Amen, no one heard him. Hala minif besudar. Someone was standing with him with flags saying Amen time, and they all answered Amen. We're not going to deal with the Amen today when you don't know what you're answering Amen on. But what do we see from this source clearly? Where did the chazan stand?
In the middle.
In the middle. On the other hand, Meseches Brachos Daf Yud Amud Bet says the chazan doesn't stand in the middle, and to be more precise, doesn't stand high up in the middle, but he stands somewhere else. Yes.
Is this for all services, or just Yom Tov and Shabbat?
The Gemara doesn't say. I don't think there's any distinction. Why should there be a distinction between Shabbos and other days of the week? What, where the chazan stands?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying they made it.
Does anyone around this table, helping out the gentleman on my right, want to answer the following question? Is it a difference in Shachris, davening in a minyan on Shabbos versus during the week? Beyond the length of davening, beyond the nigunim, is there a difference? Or Shabbos morning, I'll put it differently. Do you have to get up for shul and get there more importantly than during the week, or there's no difference? Every day you have to daven in a minyan. If you're within 18 minutes of a shul, you got to daven in a minyan.
Yeah, why not?
Same thing, right? In terms of going to the minyan, there's no difference. But on Shabbos, you're right, and Yontif, there is an additional fulfillment. Anyone know what it is? The Ramban on Chumash says it. Anyone hear the word Mikra Kodesh in their life? Yeah, you said it sometimes in Kiddush? Okay, what's Mikra Kodesh? Literally, Kodesh means holy. Sanctity, holiness. What's Mikra? Kore? The calling.
Reading.
A Kedoshified, a sanctified assemblage, says the Ramban. Namely, on Shabbos and Yontif, when all the Jews come to shul together and say, today is Yontif, today is Shabbos, you're fulfilling the Pasuk in Chumash, Mikra Kodesh. So perhaps you're right. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's more of a reason to come to shul. First and foremost, you have to daven in a minyan, if it's within 18 minutes of where you live. And number two, Mikra Kodesh, all the assemblage. So that you're not totally off. Not totally. However, in this Gemara, there was no distinction as to where the Chazan stood. Going over to the right side, the Gemara in Brachos Dav Yudah Amud Bet says, Rama Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. It's a daf that says all the things he said. He was like on a roll. He said something. He said, if I'm already talking, let me tell you a few things that have nothing to do with what we're dealing with. So that's what happened. So he said like this, Al Yamod Adam B'Makom Gavoa V'Yitpalel, Ela B'Makom Namuch V'Yitpalel, Shene'emar Imakim Keraticha Hashem. When a chazan stands, he shouldn't stand on a high place, but rather in a low place, because it says in the famous Shir HaMalot that our custom is to say from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Mima'amakim, from the depths, I call out to you, God. Correct? Very good. The Gemara goes on, Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa like this beautiful statement in Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina Mishrum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. A brisa agrees with him. Lo yamod adam al gabe kisei al gabe shafraf lo b'makom gavoa b'yitpalel. Don't stand on a chair or some elated place in the shul. Ela b'makom namuch v'yitpalel lefi she'en gavhut lifnei ha'makom. When you're standing before God, no one's bigger than God. So don't think you're bigger because you're a chazit. Shene'emar, once again, mima'amakim kerateicha Hashem. So we have one source in Masechet Sukkah saying the Chazan was in the middle, on a high place, because that's where the Bima is. And the other source says, no, you should stand in a low place. That's the most appropriate. So who's correct?
They both are.
They both are. How do you do both? How do you stand high and low? Anyone? I don't know physics, but if you're high, I don't think you're low. You use a ladder to do what? Go up and down? Oh, the chazan starts from down, goes up?
Different
parts of davening. Could be.
Different shoes.
Bruce has a very good answer. Well, gentlemen, the Sefer HaManhig, Rav, I forgot his first name, Hayarchi from the word Yareyach, which means
moon.
How do you say moon in medieval Italian? Lunel or Luna. So he lived in a place called Lunel, which is approximately between Ashkenaz and Sfard. So he wanted to know, what do the Jewish people do? So unlike this gentleman in Shul says, the custom is A, he wanted to know, what are the customs of the Sfardim versus the Ashkenazim? And he wrote a book saying, I traveled to Ashkenaz, and then I traveled to Sfarad, and here are the customs I picked up, and here are the differences between them. Like, let's just think outside for a second. Kitniot, when do you start slichos, glot kosher meat, many different things, right? How do you deal with the kid in shul that's making noise? Many different things. So in this book, which is a cross, what do you call it when you learn different religions?
Cross-cultural
book, but it's cross-cultural within Orthodoxy. He says the following, the Sefer HaManik, Rabbi Yonatan Hayarchi, I think, if I have to look at his name again. Quoting the Gemara that says, stay in a low place. Says the Sefer HaManig, even though it says in the Gemara low place, it's a good idea that in Sfarad they stand in the Bima in the middle, high place. Why? Because if they stayed in the front,
they won't hear.
No one would hear our chazan. There you go. He said, very nice to stand in a low place. Maybe if you're home, you should stay in a low place. When you're in shul and you have an additional level of not just davening, but davening on behalf of the congregation, they have to listen to you and say amen to your baruch hu, to your kedusha or whatnot, stand in a place where people can hear. The Rambam, in his code of Jewish law says, "Uma'amidin bima ba'emtza, k'dei she'aleh aleha koreh b'torah." That's where we read the Torah from. And then he goes on, "K'dei she'ishmu kulan," for everyone to hear. "Ube'et she'shliach tzibur omed b'tfilah, omed ba'aretz lifnei ativa v'panav klapei ha'kodesh k'sharam." And that's where he stands when he chasens. So according to the Rambam and the Sefer HaManhig, the most appropriate, suitable place for the chazen is on the bima in the middle, so that everyone can hear. This is before it's omed microphone. This is before the technology we can maybe use today on Shabbos. How do you make sure the chazan hears? You have to do two things. Number one, the chazan has to take voice lessons, know how to use his voice properly, not be one of the squeaky chazans that either think they have a good voice, which is the worst. They think they have a good voice, that's the worst. The better time is a guy who actually works on his voice and knows how to use it properly in a shul, and everyone can hear. So where does the chazan stand? In the middle. In the middle. Not just for Baruch Hu, Ma'ariv, but for Shachris and for Mincha and for Ma'ariv. And I'm sure you saw this in many different shuls. For example, Sephardic shuls. I don't believe any Sephardic shul I've ever seen has a shtender in the front where the chazan stands. Say for Hamanik, saying it's from Sfarad, the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch being a bit more tolerant, because he comes later, he's living in Sfat, he knows that, hey, I started my life in Spain, then my parents were deported, and I went to maybe Portugal and other places. You know, we're not the only act in town, just like there's a Rambam, and there's a Reef, there's also a Rosh, the three poskim of the Beit Yosef, of Rav Yosef Karo. He says, listen, Hamit Palel, quoting the Beraisa we just quoted, he should daven in a low place. But he says, except if he's old or sick. So if he's old or sick and he can't walk down steps, you don't make him do that. Fine. Or he wants to make sure his voice is heard. So why the Sefer Hamanik says it sort of lechatchila, doesn't even quote that you shouldn't do it regularly. The Shulchan Aruch says no, you should really daven in a low place, except if they don't hear, and you want people to hear, then you should daven in a high place. Well, everybody knows, we have two points of view. One point of view is in the middle, the other point of view is in the middle only if they can hear. Now you see the difference. The Manik said it's a good minhag that they stand in the middle because everyone can hear. The Shulchan Aruch started the other way. It's better he stands in a low place. But if no one can hear, he can stand in the middle. So for every Shulchan Aruch, there's a Ramah, right? If he disagrees. So if the Shulchan Aruch says this, and I know in Ashkenazic shuls, there's Bima, where the Chazan stands, the Shtender is not by the Bima, but in front, I'm assuming the Ramah would wake up and say, hey, in Krakow, we don't do this. Hey, in Poland, Germany, in all the Ashkenazic places, we don't do this. But let's see the Ramah in the middle, in a minute. You had a question.
Yeah, doesn't it depend on the size of the shul? Because
yeah.
In a small shul, like in having Svat, you can hear that because anyway it is up front.
How do you know?
If he's projecting his voice, it'll bounce back. If he's not,
he's projecting his voice properly.
But even if he's in the middle, he's not projecting, you won't hear him.
Yeah, but in the middle, you probably have more of a sikui because it's a small shul. Right. So we have two points of view. One is it's best to be in the middle, and the other is only if they can't hear. Now the Ramah would probably come off and say, like this fine gentleman, hey, it's a difference between Kabbalah, Shabbos, and Ma'ariv. Mm-hmm. What does the Ramah say? The Ramah, Po'osin bima ba'emtza beit ha-kneset, she'amod alea ha-koreh ba-torah v'yishmeu kulam. First of all, bima in the middle, not in front of the shul. That's where you read the Torah from. Now next line. This line, I have to admit, you can read it twice, three, four times, you don't know what he means. When I read this line first, I started to crack up. I said, wow, what were the Reform Jews in his time too? Anyone been in the Reform Temple, conservative? Where does the chazan face?
The audience.
The audience. He's there to make a show. Like you're on a stage, you're a singer, you face the audience. You're at a wedding, there's a band, you face the audience. So in the conservative Reform temples that I know, they face the audience. They don't face God. Says the Ramah, oh, no, no, no. When we daven, we face the Aron Kodesh. Okay, that's very nice. Now, from our perspective for this year, where is the chazan standing? In front of the shul? Or on the bima?
Doesn't say.
So he started by saying that the bima is in the middle for Kriyas HaTorah. And he ends by saying the Shliach Tzibur faces the Aron. But where is the Shliach Tzibur standing when he faces the Aron? Not clear. Comes the Mishnah Brura. Now we're dealing with 20th century Mishnah Brura. Rav Yisrael Meir from Radin. We have video clippage of him walking into our Aguda conference in 1923. This is a live McCoy. The Mishnah Brura says, Haramaki Tzerkan. I would never say that about the Holy Ramah. The Ramah should have elaborated. But the Mishnah Brura feels, and I'm sure he had the right to feel, I can say the Ramah really meant to add in the following line. Now this is a Mishnah Brura classic, because it's not the only time he does this. Not the only time. When the Rama says that tefillat mincha ada erev, you can daven mincha until
night.
Comes the Mishnah Berurah says, he didn't mean that, he meant shkia. Now, if I was learning the Rama, I'd say, what do you mean he didn't mean that? You have to mean what I meant? Maybe I believe it's shkia, but don't put it in the words of the Rama. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and it feels, I know the Rama, and I think, HaRama Kitzirkan, Vezel Lashon HaTor. He really meant to quote the Torah, but he didn't. Ukevsheit, Sheshliach Tzibor Omed Batfila, Yored La'aretz Lifnei HaTeva, Ufanav Klapei HaKodesh Keshar Ha'am. When the Shliach Tzibor davens, where does he daven from? The Shtender in front of the shul, namely in front of the bima, in front of the shul, in front of everyone. He leads the congregation like an Israeli officer leads his troops to battle. Where does the Israeli officer stand?
In the front.
In front, and says the words, Acharai, follow me. So here I am, I'm the Chazan, I'm going to fight against God. God wants to destroy us, I'm going to say, don't do that. Or God, or our enemies want to destroy that. I'm going to say, don't do that. We come with an army before God. Who's the officer? The Chazan, and he stands in front. So the Mishnah Berurah for sure says the Chazan stands in front. Now you understand why Ashkenazic shuls have that. Again, the Rama didn't say it. The Mishnah Berurah thinks the Rama should have said it, or believes he said it. However, other poskim, and I just quoted here, I didn't have the actual source with me before the shir, but there is a beautiful shelot v'tshuvot called Ziknei Yehuda. This is not Ashkenaz, not Sfarad, not even what we call Provence, which was in between France. It's a totally different world of psikat halacha, of halachic literature. It's called Italy. Italy had Italian poskim that had a totally different way of dealing with halacha in general. For example, the whole idea of using Christian tunes from the church and shul is like a huge no-no by many poskim. When it comes to Italy, not exactly. One Italian posek, I won't say who, says, with due respect, the Hasidic tunes stink compared to the beautiful church tunes. Now we're coming before God. What are you going to give them, the second-rate tunes or the nice tunes? We're going to come with the proper tunes, the HBO movies, not the junky Israeli movies. So he says, use those tunes. And of course, I'm sure somewhere in that tshuva, I don't remember it, he probably said, and they really stole it from us, from the Beis HaMikdash. You know, many Jews say, they all stole it from us. But Italian psika is different. So this particular Zikne Yehuda, the shoot, was written by Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh from Modena. Today I have a rabbi in Modena, so that's why I like learning things where we have rabbis. But Modena is a very small community today. Actually, the head of the search committee for the rabbi's name was Mrs. Ferrari. That I remember. So Mrs. Ferrari, we have a rabbi in Modena. Go back to the 1500s or 1600s. There's a rabbi there, a big posek, who basically says if the Rama wanted to say that the Shliach Tzibor doesn't stand on the Bima, he would have said it. He didn't say it. What did he say? The Shliach Tzibor faces the Ark. He didn't say, oh, the Shliach Tzibor, when he goes to a special shtender in the front of the shul, he faces the Ark. And since the Rama didn't say it, don't infer from his words that he meant it. Therefore, according to the Rama, says this Shud Zikne Yehuda, where did the Chazan stand? On the Bima. He just added that, yes, you face the Aron Kodesh. By the way, you can make a whole shir on, well, maybe if the Rama said that about davening, perhaps for Kriyas HaTorah, what do you face?
Same way.
Who said? He didn't say it. He says, you stand on the Bima for laning, but he didn't say what to face. So maybe you could say, okay, laning, you're supposed to teach the people Torah. How do I teach Torah? I look at your eyes, I look at you. Eye contact. Correct? Could be. But that's a separate cheer. Bottom line is that we have one point of view saying the middle is the best place for the Chazan. The second point of view saying it's not the best place, but if everyone can hear, it would be a good place. And the third point of view, inferred from the Rama, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is daven in front of the shul. Okay? So we have different points of view. And now comes our question. So since we have different points of view, is this gentleman correct by saying it's absolutely usur to daven from the front of the shul, Kabbalah Shabbos?
No.
No.
No. Why?
He would have said it was usur.
Yeah.
Who would have said it was usur?
Anyone.
Anyone. Correct. They all say it's the best place, the most appropriate place, but usur, mutar, hey, don't go so far. We're not there. Well, however, if we already have a custom that the chazan stands in front, can we change it? Can we say one day, listen, there's a shtender in front of the shul, but the people don't hear. The people just don't hear. So let's revert to the Shulchan Aruch custom of saying in the middle. Can you do that?
Why not?
So I was surprised for the better. I thought, why not? Because what's the big deal? Stand here, stand there. Turns out, and it's a big deal. It's a very big deal.
Changing.
I don't know why it's a big deal, and here I plead ignorance, but it is a big deal. Let's look, bottom of the page, Tzitz Eliezer, right side. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Vandenberg, died in the year 2000 and something. The big posek in general, and of Shari Tzedek Hospital in particular. So Rabbi Eliezer Vandenberg says, you say mi pain sifrei poskim. שאסור לשנות מקום עמידת השליח ציבור שמקומו יד העמוד התפילה ולעמידו על הבימה. It's absolutely usher to change from the front of the shul to the middle of the shul. Absolutely usher. He doesn't say here, not a good thing, not matzui. No, usher. Usher means you can't eat pig, you can't eat chametz on Pesach, and the chazan can't stand in the middle. Usher. And he goes on, ומזה שבוודאי שלא ייתכן לעשות בכזאת אפילו רק בשבתות וימים טובים או ימים נוראים. And for sure, say your name for the tape. I want people to know who.
Rafi.
I'm very, very insistent that if you hear something, you say it in the name of the person so you can bring Geula La'olam. I want redemption, so I want people to know who you are. So I know your name is Rafi. I want people listening to know. Rafi said maybe Shabbos and Yontif is different from during the week. Guess who said that? The Tzitz Eliezer. But opposite from you, Rafi, he said, no. Dafka when the shul is packed on Shabbos and Yontif, dafka from the front. During the week, you come, you go, haphazard, a minion in the hallway, a minion inside. Shabbos, you're all sitting, there's the quorum. Chazan in front, usher to move to the middle. Igros Moshe. Who's the Igros Moshe? The writings of Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote letters. These are not letters. This is his responsum, the magnum opus. By the way, Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that his Chidushim Ashas were the magnum opus, and not his Tshuvos. But everybody knows him as Rav Moshe Feinstein, the posek of Igros Moshe. Not many people read the Dibros Moshe, which is his Perush on Shas, his Shiurim he gave in the Yeshiva, where he was with the Rosh Yeshiva called Tiferet Yerushalayim in the Lower East Side, and then they opened up a Snif in Staten Island. So, Bennett remembers the place, right, Bennett?
Sure.
So Bennett remembers Rav Igros Moshe. So Rav Moshe Feinstein dealt with a lot of the contemporary issues. So guess what? Just like this gentleman in Shul, there was probably a gentleman in Shul somewhere in America, that was livid with anger that the chazan daven in the middle, not in the front. Or daven in the front, not in the middle. So he wrote a tshuva. And this is what he says. Tip end of it. For hundreds of years, in all the shuls for hundreds of years where the chazan stood in the front, not in the middle, because the bima is holy. It's so holy that it reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash as we started this year. It's so holy that only we read the Torah on it. But the Chazan, no. What's the difference between reading the Torah and davening? Very simple difference. Yeah. Who's the editor of the Torah? Who was on the editorial board of the five books of Moses?
Hashem.
Hashem dictated word for word, letter to Moshe. This is holy stuff. Who was the editor of the Siddur?
The Chachamim,
human beings. So when it's high level sanctity, bima. When it's a lower level sanctity, front. Lo yadu lanu tama lashinui. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't understand how this changed, how they went from the front to the middle to the front. But ala mikom akom lemaise, yesh lihishtadel. What's lihishtadel?
Attempt.
Try. Not the Tzitz Eliezer's usher, but try. Hishtadlut, or in English hishtadlus. Right? Everybody? Shelo yishanu mikefi kol adorot, av she'en b'ze yisur barur. Don't change the custom of the chazan standing in front. Even though I don't see any prohibition. He stands here, he stands there, he stands anywhere. The only prohibition we saw was a high place. So theoretically, if the bima's not on a high place, it's on ground level. We're making it handicapped friendly. It's on a low level. Don't change it, even though I don't know the prohibition, says Rav Moshe. If Rav Moshe Feist says, I don't know the prohibition, obviously, if he didn't know the prohibition, We, kal vachomer, b'no shel akol shekein, don't know the prohibition. V'yasu amut samuch laichal k'minach kol b'knek tesiyot shebedorot lefaneinu, b'fat shebet ha-knetet zera asu ken ze 50 shana. Lachen eno min ha-ra'u l'shanot, v'em yadu ha-kvot torato shelo yishmeu lo, eno mechuyav imchot b'zer v'ashal yipalel shem. So he says the rabbi, if they listen to you, make the bima in front, that's the Ashkenazic custom from the Mishnah Berurah we saw. However, don't make a big deal about this. Why? You can make a big deal about not having a mechitza in the shul. That's a big deal. You can make a big deal about not davening musaf. That's a big deal. However, bima in the chazan in front in the middle, don't make a big deal about it. It's not worth the fight. Rav Soloveitchik is famous for the following story. He became the rabbi in Boston in 1933 of a few shuls, not just one shul, and it was Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. The first day of Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. So, he went ahead and he went to the shul and they said, oh, it's because it's Shabbos, the Kohanim won't duchen. Now everybody knows that not duchening in Chutz La'aretz is one of the more, how can I say this nicely, amorphic Ashkenazic custom that don't really have a good reason. After all, it says in the Torah, the Kohanim duchen. It doesn't say when, so it's probably once a day every day. It doesn't say when to put on tefillin, it's once a day every day. So how come in Chutz La'aretz they only duchen on Yontiv, and even on Yontiv they limit it to Musaf? Nobody knows the real reason. There's various reasons given. Each one, in my opinion, is funnier than the next. But reasons are given. It's a very strong Ashkenazic custom. As a Mac, the Rabbanim that said, hey, I don't understand this. We should go with the Din D'Oraisa. Something happened that they couldn't implement their point of view. When the Gra said he wants to do it, either he got arrested, not because he wanted to duchen. He got arrested for some other reason the day he wanted to make the change. And later on, when the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer that we quoted today, Rav Nachman Adler, wanted to say Duchen every day, the shul burnt down. So the Aruch HaShulchan comes and says, it's like Mishamayim, they don't want Ashkenazim outside of Israel to Duchen. Even though there's no good reason. So, why do I mention this? Because Rav Soloveitchik was a rabbi in a shul, Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, and the Kohanim are not going up to Duchen. And Rav Soloveitchik said he was a hothead and a young man, and he started to scream and yell at them that you're a bunch of Amaratzim. What do you mean? It's a Din D'Oraisa. It's hard enough. We don't duchen all year. But finally, when we do duchen, you're not going to duchen? And he made them get up. And then he said, I won the fight, and I lost the vote. Right after Rosh Hashanah, the board said, get this nutcase out of our shul. He's a reform rabbi. And Rav Soloveitchik said years later to his students, you should duchen on Shabbos, even if it's Shabbos. And Shabbos with a yontif. However, it's not worth it to lose your job over. What do you lose your job over? You have to have your head screwed on straight, and you say, okay, I didn't do a Raisa, I didn't do a Rabbanon, etc. Over this, you don't lose your job. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, okay, the Chazan should really stand in front. That's our Ashkenazic custom, but you don't lose your job over it. Okay, why? Because I don't know any prohibition. That's Igros Moshe, Chelek Bet. Chelek Gimel, Rav Moshe Feinstein is dealing with Orach Chaim again later on in life, left side of the page. He says a little differently. All of a sudden, it's not, you really should daven in front unless they don't listen to you. It's even more tolerant. Most appropriate place for the Shliach Tzibur? In front. Aval, kishiyu amrav sheiv shali shmoa bechol bet haknesset. When there's so many people in shul that can't hear the chazan from the front, kishiyamod lifnei amud itpalel az hashir tzibu al abima shu beemtza bet haknesset. Here Rav Moshe Feinstein said, if they don't hear, like the Shulchan Aruch, where should the chazan stand? In the middle. This is not, you should stand in the front unless you lose your job. This is really, stand in the middle. Kadesh yachlu kol ha'am lishmo below dochak, so everyone can hear. The Gambi Europe, and here comes my favorite line, even in Europe, holy Europe, where the Ashkenazim lived. We always say, what did they do in Europe? Everybody knows that, right? There's a fight in shul, what to do. Not to say avarachamim, to say avarachamim. The fight in Ashkenazic shuls is always surrounding avarachamim. And even if they fight about something else, they say it's like avarachamim. That's like the code word. It's an avarachamim moment. There's a big fight in the shul. Do you say it? Don't you say it? It's Rosh Chodesh, I don't know, Iyar, when the actual crusades happened, when avarachamim was actually authored, and we don't know, should we say it, we shouldn't say it, and there's a big fight in shul. Finally, we're going to go to the 92-year-old who can't even come to shul, but he was in Europe. And in Europe, they always did things right. I don't know why that assumption is correct, but let's assume it's correct. Right? In Ashkenazic world, we always assume that the former generations were righteous. So, they go to this gentleman's house, and they made sure that he was lucid, and they said, we're having a big fight in shul, do we say Avarachamim on Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Mevarchim Rosh Chodesh Iyar, or not? What did they do in Europe? And the fine gentleman, 92 years old, says, like you. Well, what do you mean, like you? We just asked, did they say it or not? He said, like you. So they thought he was senile. Finally he said, like you. We also fought about it. Okay, if they also fought about it, we're going to fight about it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Bet says, don't make a fight over it. But in Chelek Gimel, he says, not only should the Chazen stand in the middle if they can't hear, the Chazen in Europe, in the holy Europe, I quote, Gambi Europa Yosin Ken Ba'abe Mekomovi Batek Nezek Dolot. Don't think there's a divide Ashkenazi Sephardi. There's shuls like this and there's shuls like that. From this Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think we could take out one thing for our shiur, and with this we conclude. A. Don't make fights in shul about petty issues. How do you know it's a petty issue or not? Maybe it's a very, very unprincipled issue. How do you know?
The rice of the rabbanan.
Okay, how do you know? Doesn't say, okay, the Chazan, it's not an explanatory service. We're about to say the recitation of Shema, which is a biblical commandment. And then right before the Amidah, the Gabbai says, we're about to daven the Amidah, which is a rabbinic commandment. There's no explanatory service. How do you know what's the Raisa de Rabbanan, Minhag? Not important, less important, more important, anyone?
It's in the notes in the Artscroll.
It's in the notes. When do you read the notes?
You always read in Rabbi Artscroll.
You read the notes at home before you come to shul. You don't do it in shul. And quite frankly, first and foremost, how do you know if the issue is big or small? You come to a shir and you listen. So don't shoot from the hip and start saying about a shul they don't know what they're doing. The Amaratim, they think they're more religious. They're not. The Chazan, God forbid, daven Kabbalah Shabbos from the front and not from the middle. First of all, humble. Go ahead and ask, learn, don't shoot from the hip. One. Two. It could very well be that since it's a petty issue, some people do like this and some people do like that, like Rav Moshe Feinstein says here. And it's not the end of the world that the Chazan stands here or there. Yes, the Chazan Sofer had to fight against the conservative and reform, or actually only the reform. It doesn't mean that in this day and age it makes a big difference. As a matter of fact, even on issues that in past generations were a big issue, today are not such a big issue. Rav Asher Weiss Shlita says in one of his shiurim that there was a big issue. Everybody knows, do you stand for Aseres HaDibros or not? What was the issue?
Only they were from Torah. And
that some people said that only the Aseres HaDibros were from Hashem, all the rest not. He says today, he said it beautifully, whoever comes to shul on a Shabbos, Parshas Yitro, or Shavuos morning, or Parshat Ve'etchanan, believe that the whole Torah is from God. Even if they're not religious, they believe it's from God. They just, that God can't tell me what to do. There's no one in shul saying, oh, if they stand for Aseres HaDibros, it means that only that's important. No one's saying that anymore. Once upon a time, it was an issue. So it says, I believe that in this issue, you know, a Chassam Sofer had to deal with fighting against the reform. That's fine. Doesn't mean we're fighting against the reform in our shuls today. That's not what we're doing in shuls. It's not on our agenda. And number three, I say what I started with in the beginning of this year. Gentlemen, when you see something that you're not used to, drink water or tea. Chamomile tea is the best because it calms you. Go home, take a look in the books, discuss it with someone, and only if you come to a clear conclusion that it's shtuyot, do you come out and you say it nicely. I believe what you're doing is an error, and explain why. But do not in shul shoot from the hip. It's a bad idea, you may be totally off, and for the three reasons we said, be careful. So A, humble. B, you very well on customs, it can be a custom like this or like that. And C, before you shoot against the gabbai, against the rabbi, against the shul, gentlemen,
pick your fights.
Not pick your fights, drink a cup of tea, think about it, and how you're going to do it. This gentleman unfortunately made a fool of himself, and quite frankly, it was very interesting because the people there were very concerned. And I didn't have the sources in front of me, but I remembered this Igros Moshe, and I quoted it, so they felt better. But quite frankly, I don't think they had to go home feeling bad that day. It was really a petty issue that shouldn't have been brought up.